Hi, Spark High readers, and welcome to the Spark High podcast for the week of January 28th, 2013. The podcast is a weekly look at the top stories from the Spark High Job Seeker and Human Resources blogs. My name is Nicole, and I'm the content editor, and I'm here with Patrick, our marketing assistant.
Hey, how's it going?
So, as usual, we'll get started with our HR topics.
As usual.
So, how does high turnover rates affect your employees?
Right. You know, it's a month into 2013, a good time to kind of reflect on how things have gone so far with your retention, maybe even look at last year as far as your turnover.
Exactly. So it kind of goes without saying that if you have a high turnover rate, which, by the way, turnover rate, you know, in case you're not familiar with
right.
the term.
Nice definition.
Here. Yeah. It can be defined as the percentage of employees that voluntarily leave your company, you know, over the duration of a year.
Right.
So, you know, it goes without saying that if you have a high turnover rate, which means a lot of people are leaving, mm-hmm. that it's not really great for your company. Yes, voluntarily, not you firing them because they didn't work out,
right.
which might indicate a hiring issue on your part. But, you know, if they leave voluntarily, you know, there's something wrong. They either don't like working for the company, they don't like working for you. If you have a high turnover rate, it's bad.
It is.
But it also just really affects your other employees that have stuck it out and that still work there.
It does. The article mentioned this power of suggestion where it's bad for your current employees to see high turnover, see people leaving, and they're going to start thinking, well, why am I still here? What was so wrong with the company?
Exactly.
They're going to start thinking. The wheels will start getting turned.
Exactly. Especially if you have somebody new that kind of joined the team.
Definitely.
You know, either late last year or the beginning of this month, you know, maybe they see, oh, somebody over in marketing is leaving, or somebody over in IT, they're, you know, all these people are leaving. What's going on?
Right.
You know, and they might start to question, well, is this really a great company to work for? And that's
yeah.
certainly something you don't want, especially if, you know, you have a good thing going, but, you know, you should definitely reflect on what's going on. But I guess that's a topic for another
Perhaps.
Time.
We,
yes.
We probably have another article that focuses on
we
that.
We definitely but. Do. But it also talked about how, you know, it's expensive to have a high turnover rate.
It's very costly. It's almost like a double-edged sword even because you're constantly looking for new employees with that high turnover, which can be costly. You have productivity dropping. And then on the other hand, you might be trying to fix the issue that was causing the turnover anyway.
Exactly. So there's like a lot of things going on. And especially when, on average, it takes 45 days to rehire somebody.
Right.
And that's if you're not using Spark Hire, of course. But, you know, that's the average time it takes to hire somebody. And if you think about it, so not only did you lose an employee.
Right.
So, you know, depending on the contract you had, you either have to, you know, pay them, you know, whatever it is that you have to pay them, but you also have to spend money on hiring, which any way you do it, you're going to have to spend a little bit of money.
Sure.
And then that position is empty for however long it takes you to fill that position, and that's lost productivity and lost money for you.
It is. It is. Main point is don't ignore it. Don't ignore
yeah.
if you have higher turnover. Get your employees engaged. We have plenty of articles that focus on that. I think we just, you know, hammer that in.
Yeah, definitely, and just, you know, just pay attention, you know, it's certainly not just going to go away, like,
right.
those weren't just a couple bad eggs, there was something going on.
Right.
And I think last one of the things that it mentioned, how it impacts your employees, it really brings the morale down, which should be, you know, kind of obvious reaction, I guess, or
yeah, it would make you want to tackle it in the first case. Right?
Exactly, I mean, if you know, a bunch of people left, sales team, you know, there's other people that are going to have to pull the weight to hold
right.
to hold that up.
Maybe a little more stressful work environment.
Exactly.
Then.
They might burn out. It's just bad all around. So certainly pay attention if you have a high turnover rate and know how it impacts your employees and your company.
Right.
Not good stuff. So three ways to catch a video resume fib.
Right. Are your candidates going to potentially lie in a video resume?
Definitely. We've
yeah.
talked a lot about candidates lying lately on the HR blog in particular, and it's really, you know, just really interesting, and it kind of makes sense because with the job market being how, you know, still rough,
right.
there's going to be tons of job seekers out there, and they're going to say whatever they need to at least get an interview, and to get their foot in that door and try and impress you. So
yeah, they'll stretch the truth. People just graduating from college who all they're saying are required at least 2 years of experience. Not to say they've been, oh, I did this for 2 years, but they might stretch a little bit to make them sound a little more qualified for those kinds of positions to at least have a chance.
Exactly.
So they might, it happens.
Yeah, they might say, oh, they had a 6-month internship.
Yes.
But that 6-month internship might have turned into a year, employment.
Right. Rounding up.
So, and actually, the statistic is actually just kind of ridiculous that 46% of resumes contain some kind of lie or fabrication or exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's almost half.
That means one of us in this room was lying on
our
resumes.
Yeah. No. Well, we don't really need to put our resumes out there right now.
We certainly don't.
But the three ways that you can catch a video resume and your video resume fib.
Yes.
Excuse me. So if it sounds too good to be true,
It probably is.
It might not be, but it's definitely something that you want to look into. I think one of the examples that the writer used was the Alexei Vayner, that his name? Alexander
something
or
like
Alexei
that.
The Vayner.
It very
was
popular video
impossible.
Resume.
Yeah, impossible is nothing. It was probably one of the first video resumes. And, it may have sounded too good to be true, but he was at least showing you that he was doing everything that he said he was
doing. He mentioned he ballroom danced.
And there he was, ballroom dancing.
He did it in the resume, the video resume. So.
Exactly. So, if it sounds too good to be true, just double check and make sure that everything that they have checks out. And, of course, that means checking references.
Of course.
Background.
Yeah, and everything. Check references. Go with your gut.
I liked the third, tip on how to catch, and that was, if there's a mismatch.
Mismatch, right.
And that's with social media, and especially with LinkedIn. If, somebody might lie on their resume, like, oh, I worked here for 6 months.
Right.
Or worked here for a year. But then on their resume with LinkedIn, it says that they only worked there for 8 months.
Then,
one of them's wrong.
If they're lying about that, what else perhaps are they fibbed about? And that kind of reminds me of you find a great candidate, and you give them a call to perhaps give them a job offer, you get their voicemail instead, and you get this really unprofessional voicemail. That's a nice kind of example of a mismatch as well. Well,
yeah, true.
Maybe this candidate isn't as great as I thought he or she was.
Exactly. They have like some kind of ringtone or
something.
Yeah,
just something goofy, unprofessional.
That you wouldn't think that they
would
have
that. That can
hurt you. Yeah, definitely. One of the last one was if they're overly nervous.
Yeah, this one I wasn't as crazy about.
Me either, because, we recently talked about looking past the nerves in nervous candidates, but I guess it depends.
Right.
If they're, talking, if they're completely fine and then they start talking about their past experience and they get nervous, maybe they're lying.
Maybe. Don't be too skeptical, but sure, look at their eye contact. But again, I think that one, not as strong a point as the other two we just discussed.
I do kind of agree because, some people are just nervous. But if they're nervous and this is the kind of job that, they need to really bring it to the table and not be like that, then maybe it's not the best fit for them. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're lying. So.
Right.
But it could, you had to be wary and make sure that you're checking.
Definitely.
So remember to check references and double check on social media.
Right.
Make sure your candidates aren't lying because 46% of them apparently are.
Yes.
So moving on to our job seeker blog. How to deal with not receiving a promotion.
That's unfortunate.
Pretty rough. Especially, you can compare it to not getting a job. But you have to go back to that job every day. It's like being rejected, and then you have to go back.
I like that. That's a good point.
So that can be really rough.
I'm sure you're either really upset about it, or you've kind of moved on from it, taking the high road. I feel like maybe those are the two options you could see someone doing if they were passed over for a promotion. But the latter, taking the high road, is what we would probably recommend.
Exactly, and that's kind of what this article is talking about. And at the end, the writer briefly noted that, if you can't take the high road, if it's just not for you, then maybe it's time for you to evaluate your situation in the position.
In the company.
And in the company, maybe you've, surpassed your goal and it's not going anywhere, and maybe you wanted this promotion for a challenge, and maybe you could get that challenge somewhere else.
Definitely.
So, you know, definitely something to think about. But if you want to take the high road, you know, if you know this is the company you want to be in, and, you know, maybe farther down the line you'll get the promotion.
You get another shot at it, sure.
Exactly. Then there's certain things you want to do to keep yourself in good graces with superiors.
Right. One of them being inquire with the person who made the decision to pass you over. You know, talk to them. Why was I passed over? That's an opportunity to improve upon yourself. And the reasons they tell you that you were passed over for.
Definitely ask for feedback and receive that feedback well.
Graciously.
You know, graciously, yeah. Another one is watch your behavior after you realize that you didn't get the promotion because...
Yeah, really don't change too much.
People are watching you. I mean, I know if you were up for this promotion and it was between you and a couple other people,
right,
or it was an internal kind of thing, then, you know, your superiors are probably going to be watching you to see how you react.
If there's ever a time for them to pay close attention to you, it'd be after you were passed over for a promotion.
Exactly. Perhaps,
like,
you know, they wanted, you know, they considered you, but it just wasn't the right fit right now.
Yeah.
But they're definitely going to keep a watchful eye out and see how you deal with, I guess, this rejection.
Right.
You know, you can go one of two ways, the high road, or you can, you know, act like a little brat.
Throw a little tantrum.
Yeah, and that would be highly advised against.
Yes.
So, you could also use the promotion as a motivating factor.
Right.
Just to keep, you know, see what you could do to improve. Take this kind of setback and evaluate your role and what you could be doing better and what you could do to, you know, make it seem in your superior's eyes that you're ready for this promotion. So you could use that to your advantage. And definitely, you know, everything aside, just remain professional. If you're going to be upset about it and you want to complain about it, don't do it in the office.
Yeah. Do it at home.
Do it at home.
Personal confidant.
Exactly. So, you know, keep that kind of to yourself. But if you want to keep on trucking in the company, take the high road. If it's not going to work out, start your job search.
Yeah.
So that's it. Yeah. So for our last article, I liked this one a lot, and I think that there's a lot we can learn from
it's
it.
Very retro. I like
it. Yeah, I like that, retro. So it was baby boomer tactics for Gen Y job seekers.
Yeah. Or millennials, whoever.
Millennials, yeah.
Youngins, so, whoever you want to call them.
Yeah, what job search tactics can we learn from our parents or their grandparents? You know, they didn't have the internet. It wasn't like you could just go
job
on your
boards.
Phone.
What are those?
Yeah, what's a job board? So they kind of stuck to traditional, formal, interactive ways of trying to find a job, like cold calling.
Cold calling, to me, that sounds like now in this day and age, if you were to cold call, that takes guts.
It really does. And I think, because I think so many companies don't want that.
Or would they expect it now for someone to do that?
Or would that be, you know, it's just, it's...
Right. The article says it could go either way.
Yeah. And we've had discussions on the Job Seeker blog about cold calling before, and it really just depends on, you know, the industry, the company, how you feel,
right,
you know, yourself as a job seeker.
Sure.
But, you know, if you wanted to know if a company was hiring, you just call up and say, hey, are you guys hiring? Because...
Right. How else would you find out?
I'm a mechanical engineer, and you guys need one. Cool.
Yeah, in this day and age, I'd say if you really want to work for the company, give it a shot.
Yeah, and
that shows passion, so.
Definitely, you know, and you sought out the company, and that kind of goes along with the next one, which I really like, and I think that it only really works if you truly, you know, you've had your eye on a certain company,
sure,
and you know you want to work there. It wouldn't just be, you know, pick something from the job board and
right,
work.
Right, no.
And that's walk-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, someone I know was very close to me, actually. It does this, not quite often, but, you know, they're kind of in the market for a new job, and he has this job right now, and what he did to get this job, he just walked right in and, you know, was dropping off his resume, and the person that was hiring actually, you know, walked by and was like, oh, you know, what's going on? Like,
wow,
what are you doing here? And he shook the guy's hand, and he was like, oh, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so. I'm your new... whatever.
He said that.
Yeah, definitely. And the guy was like, oh, all right, for sure. Well, let's go talk. And that's his job now. That's his job. And
wow.
I mean, it takes a certain level of confidence. You know,
definitely.
Obviously you have to be in your field. You have to be, you know what you're doing. But that's a story of where it worked out perfectly. And
right, so perhaps something to try out.
Yeah, definitely. It was something to think about. But I'm a firm believer, and it depends on who you are, what kind of job seeker you are, where you are in your career, and, you know, this company. So I guess the situation has to be right and pretty ripe, but it worked out.
Interesting anecdote there. I like that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite little job seeker stories. I like it.
And what else?
Newspaper.
Newspapers. It's the retro job board is probably what it's considered.
I can't say that I've ever looked for a job in the newspaper. Have you?
No, I have not. And they say for local positions, hiring immediately, it could make sense. I would probably lean more towards the cold calling or perhaps walking in as being more beneficial to job seekers now. But who knows? Perhaps you could find a position that really catches your eye.
Yeah. If there's still newspapers, you know, in the next
Yeah, if there are, if there are, who knows?
Word of mouth. And that's kind of the bulk of, I think, you know, the job search now, which
that's
is networking.
That's what goes on today, definitely.
Yeah, networking. So, you know, definitely don't forget about networking and harvesting those new contacts that you make, making use of them.
Agreed.
And, you know, lastly, maybe you just want to follow in your parents' footsteps.
Maybe you do. I don't know who you are, but maybe you do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you don't know what you're going to do, you're not really sure, you know, you graduated, you have a degree, and maybe you can follow in your mom and dad's footsteps. And the thing is, if they're still in that career, they can probably hook you up with a lot of contacts that might be able to make it happen.
Right. Simple networking, great advice, family business, perhaps the right route to go to get started through job search.
Definitely. It's definitely food for thought. It's not for everybody, but, you know, if you don't know what you're doing or where you're going, it's somewhere to start. So, take a cue, I guess, from your parents and maybe their parents and mix it up a bit in your job search. Doesn't all have to be online, mobile.
It definitely doesn't. More personal, perhaps.
Yeah, think about it. All right, well, that concludes our show for this week. Thank you for tuning in to our Spark Hire podcast. We hope you enjoy the show. If you have any additional questions or would like to weigh in on the articles we discussed, head over to the Spark Hire Job Seeker blog at blog.sparkhire.com and the Human Resources blog at hr.sparkhire.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for fresh content straight in your social media feeds. And don't forget to check back every Monday for a new podcast. That concludes our show for this week. Have a great day.
Have a great week.